I call the City Council meeting for January 18th, 2023 to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. Councilman Gephardt, will you please introduce our guests who are going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Little loud. This evening, we have the pleasure of welcoming the outgoing school committee representatives to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming? And was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
Thank you. Councilman Gephardt.
I just wanted to extend a warm welcome to former school committee members, Judy Cobden, Kyle Adams, and Nathan Cornell, who served with dignity during a very, over an extended period of time, but during an especially challenging time as we navigated the COVID pandemic and the extreme impact it had on our youth and on our teachers and on everyone involved in the school. So I'd like to just say thank you for all your efforts. Wish you all the best in whatever comes next. And I'm sure that, your focus on our students and their progress and their development does not go unnoticed. You have had an impact that will carry on beyond your terms. So thank you from the City Council, from all of us. And as a parent who also has kids in our school, I thank you personally and from my family and from our PTO and from our community. So thank you. We're very appreciative that you are here tonight. You're welcome to step up to the mic if you had anything that you wanted to add, but I'll just ask for a warm round of applause for all the hard work that these three put in.
Thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. That was a very nice words, very kind to us. It was a difficult time, and just to keep it short, I'm humbled, but I thoroughly was honored to represent my District 2 and serve this city for 4 years, and I'll always remember it, and I will stay involved still, and the best of luck to our city, and I'm sure we'll all continue doing what we can to make this city number one in Rhode Island. Thank you.
I would also like to extend my gratitude, one for the very kind words, Mr. Gebhardt, but also to the rest of the council for inviting us here to recognize us. And I mean, I think Ms. Cobden said it well enough that we put a lot into this district and we are very hopeful for what our schools can become. And I hope going forward that they can maintain a level of relationship with you as we developed over the past 4 years. And I look forward to the future with the new school committee and this city council. Thank you.
City Council, I would like to thank you for the honorable mentions you made tonight. I would like to, and for thanking this school committee, and it's been an honor to serve with these two people. Like, we've definitely been through a lot through the COVID pandemic. A lot of you I met on a campaign trail. Like, I mean, originally my first run for school committee in 2016, which was unsuccessful, and then 2 years later in 2018, which was a successful run, a lot of hard work. I saw sometimes I encountered you on the campaign trail, and some of you, a lot of you were elected during that time, so I know you all very well. But it's been an honor to serve the city of Warwick on the Warwick School Committee. Like, when I started getting involved, I was a student, and I thought it would be good to have a student's voice on the school committee. And being on the school committee, I tried to bring that perspective to the school committee. And it was a lot of hard work. Like, at first, there was a lot of, like, head bashing, like, because of previous school committees, they did a lot of actions that weren't good, and I just wanted to bring their students' perspective there. And I, with the great team we had as a school committee, which I think was one of the best school committees the city has ever had, this team, we went through a lot of challenges. Like, we had a lot of setbacks, we made some mistakes, but overall, we did what was best for the students, and I'm proud of the work we did. And being on the school committee, I think I actually accomplished most of what I wanted to accomplish, not singularly just myself. I couldn't have done this without this team. Like, as a team, as a group, we together collectively made the school system better. And leaving the school system, I think I, as a team, we left it better than it was when we got on. So I'm very appreciative of that. And I thank the city council for the support you have given us, that although we've had disagreed in the past, we end up working together regarding budgets and all that. And I think, and I'm optimistic about the school's district in the future. And I think we have a great school administration, and I'm just proud of the work that this school committee as a team have done.
Thank you very much, and I echo my colleagues' statements, and that anybody that steps up and runs for school committee and serves our city deserves kudos. That is the toughest job in the business here. So I thank you for your service. And again, congratulations on your retirements. And but stay active and please stay involved. So congratulations again. We are now on to general communications. This is announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. I have two. I'd like to congratulate Mayor Picozzi and his entire family. They raised over $30,000 for the Tomorrow Fund the past few months. So that is excellent. And I just want to thank the mayor and his family, put a lot of time and effort into raising the money, having the Christmas display, letters to Santa Claus, out there in the rain, out there in the snow. And, you know, they really are making a huge impact with this donation to the Tomorrow Fund. And I think the whole community should be proud of that, because as the mayor said, it's the community that's making these donations. And so I just want to thank him and his family and everybody who contributed to that. Also, just want to make a an announcement that there will be a special city council meeting on Monday, January 30th at 6 p.m. There will be a discussion on the fire contract. So there will be a special city council meeting on January 30th at 6 p.m. here in the council chambers. Are there any members of the council that have anything under general communications? Councilman Ricks.
A few comments. So I think that we've all heard that phrase about, there was that meeting that could have been an email. Well, oftentimes what happens at our city council meetings is that maybe an email could have been sent, but you know what? These are emails that need to happen at a meeting. I think back to some of the questions that have been asked at city council meetings, and it reminds me a little bit of when I was back at law school. I had professors back at law school and where they're paying to be in those classes. And
Councilman X, hold on 1 second. I just have the solicitor just wants to make a suggestion or advise.
Thank you. General communications, we have noticed categories of items that need to be fit in order to be met. Otherwise, we're venturing outside the parameters of what was posted in the notice of anything that may be discussed. I'm not sure where this is going, but my suggestion would be to confine your remarks to the categories that were noticed, which is a congratulation, a condolences, or an announcement of a community event.
In that case, I would simply like to congratulate Councilman Lattiser for, I think that while it's all well and good for folks to say, trust us, one of this council's very few jobs is to do the opposite in an open public forum to question. It's a matter of transparency and accountability. It's not personal. It's a matter of doing the public's work. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I may have the solicitor interrupt me based on the comments he's just made. But recently, I have received numerous phone calls, emails, and texts asking where my position is regarding schools, new schools, that is.
Mr. President?
You're interrupting?
Councilman.
Intervening, let's say that.
Sure. Respectfully, sir, the only items we have noticed under general communications are the announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. We have not put forth any other things on the agenda, so my suggestion is to refine your comments to only those categories of things that have been properly noticed for discussion.
So is it your opinion that new schools is not considered a community event? Because that's what I'm commenting on, and I think that is a huge community event. It's a proposed $350 million community event. Am I wrong?
I think the community events is more like when we announce the ribbon cutting or a groundbreaking. I think that's more of the things that we're looking for here in our general communications.
Yeah, and as a point of information, one of the reasons why we changed our agenda here is because another municipality got dinged for this because they weren't following what their agenda said. It really has to be limited to that. I know it's seemingly silly, but it has to be very narrowly confined because they'll whack us for it.
So I can respect all these legal opinions on this. And if that be the case, then we need to clearly define what is executive communications. Executive communications is what? A community event. Now a new school is no longer a community event. You know, OPEB issues are no longer a community event. Well, I think if you ask the community, they're going to consider that an event. So I'll sum it up. There's plenty of time for me to discuss my other issues at a future meeting, but I think that we as a legislative body, maybe we need to come up with something a little more clear than just executive communications, and we'll kind of define it as we move along. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any more announcements of congratulations, condolences, or upcoming community events? Councilman Ricks.
A quick point of clarification question to the council solicitor. I understand the issues of having discussion of items that are not posted on the agenda. However, under the Open Meetings Act, a discussion would involve more than one council person speaking on such a point, as opposed to one council person making an announcement or the like, and then not so long as other council members during this open meeting, during this item, are not replying to the same, correct?
In working with the president, the intention of the agenda is to make clear that all comments are refined to what's on the agenda. So items of such significant nature that may be attempted to be raised by an individual could still lead to potential problems. So our recommendation is to confine remarks to only those items that are listed on the agenda. In this case, these categories of announcements, not presentation of thoughts, opinions, or anything else of a large-scale item that may be coming before us at a later date or not.
Thank you. We'll move on to executive communications. There are none. Acceptance of the minutes for the council meeting held on January 4th. Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman McElroy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Next up is the acceptance of the minutes for the January 3rd, 2023 meeting. Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman McElroy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Minutes passed. We are now moving to public comment. I believe the sheet is still on there, so if anyone wants to sign up, this is your last call here. This is just for Rule 41. Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if there are more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of the speakers concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous vote of the council. At this time, we have four individuals that have signed up. The first individual is Cindy Wilson, and the Sergeant of Arms will turn the mic on for you.
Hi, Cindy Wilson. So this is directed towards Mr. Howe and Mr. McAllister. I have seen your attempts over and over to intimidate the public when you're uncomfortable with the topic. You both have violated my First Amendment rights. At the meetings on December 19th, you stopped me twice, saying my questions weren't pertinent to PCO-4-22. The first question was, how was I identified and who exactly executed the whole thing? I kind of think I had the right to know that, but you said it wasn't pertinent. Mr. Lattister, you stated that you didn't know, and that wasn't true because unbeknownst to me, Mr. DeCourt was sitting back there, and he's the one that did the whole thing with me. So not only did you not call him out, he didn't come up to the podium and explain it to me. Sad. Over a year, it took me to get my, whatever you call it, it's nothing, I guess, $3,000, but you didn't know why. Shame on you. The second question I asked that you, you know, gaveled me and then you seconded it, you know, PCO-4-whatever, was I said, who's going to enforce this? Because this is a pretty big endeavor you're taking up. And that I also believe was pertinent to PCO-4-22. But again, you tag-team each other and you stopped me and said it wasn't. But when Matthew Patty came up to the podium after me, he asked you this question twice. He leaned into the mic and with a chuckle, he said, what did you think the paper said that I wrote down? None of you answered. He asked it again. No gavel, no stop it. You ignored it. And then he asked this really intelligent question. So, council, when I was a small child, someone kicked my dog. Would the city council then give me the right to go around kicking dogs? And again, you didn't stop them. You didn't gavel them. You didn't stop them. You let them ask a stupid question. But here's my question. Who's the dog and who's the kicker? And you guys just, you're bullies. You're incompetent, just bullies. And I think you hate women, and I think you hate powerful women. Because to let this guy ask this question in his Don Johnson outfit was crazy. And I watched it today. I was infuriated. That's why I was here at 5 o'clock. My blood was boiling. I was so angry. And shame on all of you. Shame on you. And shame. And you know what I hope? I don't hope this because that would be mean. But one day, your wife, your mother, your daughter, your sister is going to encounter someone like you. And remember me, because you know what? I believe in karma. It's a slow wheel, but baby, it spins. And I'm not going to talk anymore about this. It's clear that you guys have a decision made already. I can tell by the crowd. And that's fine. That's due process. But shutting me up when you don't have the right to, that's not due process. You're a bully.
Thank you. The next speaker is Scott Burton.
Hey guys, I'll try and keep this brief. My name's Scott Burton. I've been in Warwick for a couple years. Just writing, I don't know, everything that's been going on, but
can you hear me?
Sorry. So I'm just writing to express my disagreement with the short-term rental ordinance. It significantly restricts short-term rentals in the city. We have one small bedroom cottage next to our house. It's an ADU. We use it for my parents and her parents who live out of town. So it's like very convenient when we have two kids under four that can come and stay. Grandparents are great. I don't know if you guys know that. So when we're not using it, we're using it as a short-term rental, and it really helps out with maintaining a 100-year-old home. It's an asset to the Warwick community. It's not a detriment. In addition to the taxes we pay to Warwick on the income it generates, it brings visitors who might not otherwise travel to the area. We have two small kids. We have a pet. We know what it's like to try to travel in hotels, and flexibility is really, really nice. So Airbnbs are a great way to get around with pets and small children. So those guests that stay here, that you get hotel taxes from us, and also you get people that stick around and go to like the Cozy Grill or Grainsley's or a couple places near us that we send people because we really like the area. So I understand that I haven't read the ordinance if there's been any updates. It's been a little while. I'm very short on sleep. So I just think that maybe if there's been some unwanted source of disturbances in the city and you believe that this is tied back to short-term rentals, you can go after the actual problem and not just kind of throw a wide blanket and really affect people much more than necessary. It seems pretty draconian, the measures that are being taken up. So that's all I had to say. I just request that the council reconsider. It's an overly broad ordinance that I think is not really addressing the problem that you might be trying to address. So anyways, thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker is Rich. Lance, yep, now I see him.
Hi, Richard Hainseth, Bedlam Farm Road in Warwick. And tonight we're going to talk about the environment assessment for the airport freight project. I'm under the impression that the city administration feels their hands are tied and they don't want to reach out to participate in the environment assessment. And I believe the city council should start a process to direct the city administration to answer the environment assessment. And I think you'll find many people really don't want 70 freight planes a day coming over their heads. I think the planning department needs to do more than just say, well, you know, it's on airport property, so we can't do anything. That's just not working. This is a major threat. We spent years fighting for better sound management and better pollution of ultrafines and light pollution. We spent years with the environment the last time, 15 years ago. And I think we worked together with the airport and got something that everybody agrees to. Now it just seems like the hands are thrown up. This is a major problem, everybody. And we need to have the city council tonight introduce some legislation at their whatever they do at the end of the meeting, and get to it and answer the environment assessment in the way that the people want it answered. Thank you.
Thank you. And the final speaker is Michael Zaram.
Good evening, everyone. For the record, my name is Michael Zaram. I'm a resident living at 139 Northampton Street. That is in Ward 2. I want to thank Mr. President, members of the City Council, members from the public who are here this evening. And I also want to thank Mr. Lamseth. I would fully agree with his comments. I'm not a resident. I'm also a former member of the TF Green Air Quality Committee, which ran for several years with a grant, $500,000 grant from the federal government, from EPA. I'm also a former member of the City of Warwick Legal Selection Committee, where we interviewed 12 legal firms that specialize in aviation counsel and as well as environmental law. The end result of that was we got over $100 million worth of mitigation work for the city. All that happened from that, we had legal advisors come on board so that people like yourself could ask somebody with that legal expertise, what can the city do? What can't the city do? What can the airport do? What can't the airport do? And with that, Phil Powell, I believe, gave to Ryan Clark a copy of my comments to hand out to everybody. I'm just going to make a few comments on the freight terminal proposal, just some bullet points. Originally, the freight terminal in the airport's so-called master plan is supposed to be on the north ramp, which is on Airport Road right now. Now we want to move it along Strawberry Field west to a little pocket neighborhood. It's much larger in scope than the original Airport Master Plan freight terminal was. Again, it's right adjacent next to that pocket neighborhood, and they want to put a bunch of bushes and a huge wall, which they think is going to stop the noise. And also earlier this week, I did speak with somebody in the FAA New England region who agreed with me that the wall they want to put up will not stop the noise. The current freight terminal proposal also replaces the original freight terminal plan that was in the original master plan. And part of the purpose is that FedEx wants to expand and relocate its Boston operations to Strawberry Field West. They're also familiar with logging around it. FedEx is turning up things on the south side of the field. They're basically going to move those operations to TF Green. Despite what you may hear about TF Green being an international airport and the FAA plan, national plan, TF Green is a relevant airport for Logan, and that's part of what this is all about. It's bringing the problems from Logan to Warwick. Now, the FAA process right now, and it is the legal process and the administrative law, is under the National Environmental Policy Act. It's called the NOAA Environmental Assessment. It's much, much smaller in scope than the full environmental impact statement that was done several years ago for NOAA and safety improvements. Yeah, one color rather than otherwise. However, there are two other areas which I want to mention that the environmental assessment will not disclose to people in the city, including the people as our legislators. One, the study will not reveal and will not disclose all the noise from ramp operations. They say they're going to do a noise study. That noise study will be limited to take off some land and not overnight operations noise. I specifically asked them if they were going to do a noise study to compare with the city rounds noise ordinance, and they told me no, they would not do that. They also will not study new areas in the sample that are called ultrafine materials. They're particles that are less than 0.1 microns, which have been known to cause premature cardiovascular disease. The noise study. Yes? Okay, thank you. So I suggest that the City Council retain an aviation expert that is familiar with FAA administrative law to advise the city in what the Airport Corporation can and cannot do under federal, state, and local zoning laws. And by the way, Mr. Walsh, I want to point out that RIAC frequently tells people what zoning laws do not apply, and we've gotten two legal opinions so far on the Formal Legal Selection Committee that what zoning laws do apply to the airport. That's all I have to say. Thank you, Michael Zerriman, closing comments. Anybody is free to call me at a later date to discuss what we've done before and how we can move forward to protect the city and our neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. At this time, I'm going to ask my colleagues in the council, I'm looking to move PCO 4-22 sub A to the top of the agenda so we can discuss that now. I know there's a lot of individuals that are here for that. Is there any objections for members of the council to hear that at this time? Okay, hearing none, we are now on PCO 4-22 sub A committee report land use.
Recommend hearing.
Okay, so we'll open this up. Councilman Lattiser, I know that Councilman Sinapi has some amendments to offer and other members may have as well, but Councilman Lattiser as the sponsor, do you have anything?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. That is true. As I stated in the my comments to the committee, Councilman Sinapi has promulgated some amendments which you have before you, and I am in full support of those. We have, as you all know, heard some six perhaps plus hours of testimony regarding this legislation. This legislation also comes before us with the full support of the planning department, Mr. Kravitz, with the building department, Al DeCourt, and as far as I'm aware of, there is full support throughout. So this is the culmination of 6 years of work, data collection, comparison to other communities, et cetera, et cetera. And what you have before you is also really happy to say, which I know you're all aware of, is in part a result of the 6 hours of testimony that we heard. There was some very, very good points brought up. There was some strong opinions presented to us, and we certainly made the appropriate changes to that. We have eliminated owner-occupied and several other things. Councilman Sinapi accommodated the parking issue, and I thought that was a very good move. So having said that, I will defer to Councilman Sinapi to handle his proposed amendments as he deems fit. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to go to Solicitor Walsh first.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to preface discussion this evening with I'm filing a statement that makes clear that I don't have any conflicts of interest regarding this matter. It is about the relationship that I have outside with different associations pursuant to the Ethics Commission's the general laws as well as the Ethics Commission's. Those relationships don't trigger a recusal, nor do I have any financial interest, direct or otherwise, nor my clients have any direct or otherwise relationship based on any action or inaction that I may take this evening. Furthermore, as all of you know, I do not have any decision-making authority over this body. That is up to the 9 members of the council itself. So just wanted to preface that for the record, that I'll be filing that disclosure.
Thank you.
That being said, if a motion for favorable to bring the item before us, and then on the amendment would be the next thing.
Okay, so if Councilman Snappy, if you can make a motion that you'd like to make some amendments, we'll get a second.
Favorable by sponsor, second.
Oh, favorable by the sponsor.
Then yes, thank you, Mr. President. I would move favorable action on PCO 4-22.
And second by Councilwoman Travis.
You had a second down there too, Mr. President.
And second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Rex. Yes, so Councilman Snappy will call on you first, and we also have written copies for everyone of what you're going to propose. So if you'd like to start, and then we will hand these out.
So if I'm not mistaken, I first have to move for an amendment before we can discuss it.
Very good point. So, Councilman Sinapoli, would you like to move an amendment?
I would. Would you like me to list them out?
Yes. So, move the bundle, and we'll get a second. Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Gephardt. So, go ahead, Councilman Sinapoli.
So, lines 36 through 38 would be removed. That is the local representative definition. And that is on page 1. You can then skip to page 3. Under subsection 510.4, registration and inspection required, semicolon permit, all the lettered portions of that subsection are getting bumped down, and a new subpart A will be inserted stating it each owner of a short-term rental property shall designate on a registration form filed under this chapter a local representative whose physical address of their primary residence is within 50 miles of the registered short-term rental property to serve as the local representative. The local representative shall be a natural person with access and authority to assume management of the short-term rental property and take remedial measures. The owner may, if qualified as established herein, designate themselves as the local representative. And then you can move on to subsection 510.9, owner's obligations. The change here would be to subpart B, specifically line 6. That would be page 5. In subpart B, I'll just read the sentence as is, and I'll note when the change is. The owner or local representative shall obtain accurate and up-to-date information, including the names, home addresses, and phone numbers of the renters, the date of the rental period, and here is the modification, when practicable, is being inserted into the language. And when practicable, the model, year, color, and vehicle registration of all motor vehicles registered to or used by such renters. We then can move to, on the same page, page 5, subsection 510.10, posting of notice. Specifically, we can go to line 25, where we will cross out the word exterior. And then on line 26, insert the word interior. So just replacing exterior and replacing it with interior. And I believe that is all of them. Councilman Lattice reminded me of the CO issue, but for Solicitor Walsh, do we want to do that as part of this or as a separate one? I'm fine either way, frankly.
The amendment is on the bundle. Let's deal with that first, put that in place, and subsequent amendments may follow, but.
Works for me.
Okay, so that amendment has been moved and seconded. So now we're discussing the Sanapi amendment. We'll call it the Sanapi amendment. So we're all on the same page here. Of this document is now what we are discussing at this time. So are there members of the council that have any questions or comments on this Sanapi amendment? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. To start off, I'll say that the portion of the amendment on page 5, line 6, adding the language of when practicable, that's good. I'm in favor of that. Looks like there are two other substantive amendments. So by that, I mean there are, I'm basically including the change to the definitions on page 1 and the change on page 3 as if it was one amendment because they both deal with a local representative. So on that one, I think that 50 miles provides a bit too much latitude. To put it in perspective, Logan Airport is within 50 miles of parts of Warwick. I understand the concerns about the Dormant Commerce Clause. I understand that we want to have a reasonable degree of flexibility. I would suggest 25 miles. Then, theoretically, one could have a local representative who is located practically anywhere in the state of Rhode Island, as well as some slices of Connecticut or Massachusetts, so there's no Dormant Commerce Clause problem. But generally speaking, the person would be within a one-hour drive, more or less. So I would say that perhaps 25 miles might be a bit more reasonable on that. I would also prefer for the copy of the short-term rental permit to be on the exterior rather than the interior of the building. This is a function of a business. I think that it would be appropriate, just as, say, a building permit is posted on the exterior of the building. But looking at all of the changes, I would say that my bigger concern is the 50-mile radius as opposed to a smaller radius, perhaps 25 miles. And while I might have a preference on exterior versus interior, I'm amenable to the interior. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Ricks. Councilman Foley.
Just to address my colleague's concerns, I for a number of years, and I hate to tell stories, but for a number of years, I lived in Maine. And I tell you, living in a big state gives you a different perspective than living in Rhode Island all your life. A 50-mile radius in Maine is nothing. I mean, people would routinely drive 2 hours to Boston to do a shopping day. So I think our parochialism, or being Rhode Islanders for life, might slant our ideas a little bit. I do not think 50 miles is onerous at all. Secondly, having been using Airbnbs numerous times over the last 5 years, they blend into the neighborhood. And I think having an exterior notice that this is an Airbnb with the rules just goes counter to that. That it no longer blends into the neighborhood. It can be targeted at that point if that notice is on the outside. So I like all the amendments that are mentioned here. And if there's a registration already required to our municipality, whether it's fire, police, or DPW, they already know which properties are Airbnbs, and so the need to have it on the exterior seems redundant at that point. That's all.
Thank you, Councilman Foley. Councilman Addison.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. With all due respect to Councilman Ricks's comments, the building permit notice, it's required to be posted, but it's not required to be posted on the exterior. So it is an interior posting. With respect to your concerns with the 50-mile issue, I'm going to kind of step back a bit, and I'm going to go to the beginning of when, not entire discussion of it, don't get nervous, gang, just to the owner-occupied portion. When I first started working on this, owner-occupied made a lot of sense, and there may come a day when it will make sense again. But hearing all of the discussion that we had, this PCO 4-22 sub A, I think this is an excellent example of governance. I think it's an exceptional example of the spirit of negotiations. And I look at this ordinance and I refer to things I've applied throughout my entire career, and that's the 85% rule. If you can stop or do 85% of what you want, I think you've had a pretty successful run. This item with the mileage, the 50-mile radius, I'm going to look at that the same as I did with the parking, the same as I did with owner-occupied. We have an opportunity to pass what I feel, and I think a lot of others feel, as model legislation for short-term rentals for the state of Rhode Island. And this isn't going to be the first time the city of Warwick comes up with model legislation. And I think this is what we have right here. So with that said, my reasoning for signing off on the owner-occupied being removed is because this will give us time to monitor this. We're going to have registration, which is critical. We're going to have mapping, which is critical. And we can take another look at this in a year from now. And perhaps my original thoughts on owner-occupied were wrong. And in a year from now, we have no evidence of any issues, whether it be owner-occupied or not. What I would suggest that we do is approve the legislation with the current amendments. There is one typo amendment that I'll add after. And let's begin the registration process. Let's begin the mapping process. And let's take what appears to be heading to be the model legislation for the state of Rhode Island and monitor it. Let's monitor it for a year. If owner-occupied is an issue, we can address it. If parking is an issue, we can address it. If the mileage thing, if that becomes an issue, we can address it. And that's what I would respectfully request to do moving forward with this item. Thank you.
Thank you. Other members of the council on the Sanapi amendment? Okay, there's the opportunity for members of the public to come up and speak on the Sanapi amendment. That's the amendment that we just passed out. So if there's any comments or questions, please come up to the mic, and this is the time for that.
My name is Bill Gagnier. I've spoken here before, and we've all done a lot of work on this, and thank you very much for your involvement on this. Over the last several weeks, I've sent out some information. We've been doing a tremendous amount of work on the background of making sure
that all of these areas of this are not running afoul of current state laws, constitutional issues that come up. And a lot of the work that we've been doing, and there's been several attorneys and other people in municipalities helping me with this. So there are still some issues. I think we're this far away of getting something that works perfectly, becomes that model that you're talking about, because I think we're that close to it. And I've made some suggestions to some of the other members here over the period of time, and I hope those get put in as different amendments. I think pretty much everybody's got an idea of what we're looking for. Some of the issues that we've brought up before are the records being available to city officials, which there was just a Supreme Court case just recently that decided that was against the Fourth Amendment rights. There's some other issues on the Eighth Amendment. There's some other issues in regards to state laws and actually building code areas that have to be tweaked to some degree. I can go into more detail at a later date, but I'm hoping that those amendments get added into, and these are really looked at closely because you're talking about people's, the way they make a living. It's not something anyone can take lightly, and it also gives an opportunity for so many people to create an income on something that was never contemplated, 15 years ago. It's something that really provides an opportunity to bring so many more people into the area, and Warwick, as we know, has so much to offer. Everything's close by, much less than 50 miles or 25 miles. Anything more than 15 minutes seems to be a long trip for people in Rhode Island. I get a kick out of that all the time. But please review that, some of the notes that I've sent to others, and hopefully you work with us and we'll get this thing done. Wish we had more time to do that before the hearings that were just held during the holidays, but I know we've got the time to do it. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak on the Sinapi Amendment at this time? Any other members of the public? Go ahead, sir.
Off the cuff a little bit. I'm Scott Burton. I spoke earlier. I'm at 19 Eaton Avenue down the road off West Shore. With all due respect, I don't think this is necessarily at a point where it is going to be model legislation. I'm worried that there are ordinances in here, and thank you for mentioning this is people's livelihoods. This is people's incomes. And for me, it's been really a blessing to take care of an older home, to be creating income. And with some of the onerous kind of restrictions, and I know we're gonna map it, we're gonna regulate it, we're gonna get a ton of different, we're gonna get registration and color of everybody's car, that becomes very onerous on the people that are making this extra income, that are bringing that income to Warwick. So I think more work needs to be done. I don't think this does what you want it to. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other members of the public that would like to be heard at this time on the Sinapi Amendment? Okay, any members of the council have any other questions on this amendment? Okay, it's been moved and seconded, so the clerk will call a roll for favorable action on the Sinapi Amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Latta?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
Thank you. So this is the new, the Sinapi Amendment is the new ordinance that we are working off of at this time. Are there other members of the council that would like to make any additional members? Councilman Howe?
Mr. President, I would like to make an amendment to the just recently passed amendment.
Mr. President?
Yep, go ahead. Hold on 1 second, Councilman Howe. Solicitor Walsh.
There was a, if we could do a clarifying amendment to, I guess let's update it. For you, those of you sitting here, the document that's with us now is, in the future, will be known as PCO 422 sub B. The contents of it now align to what is in everybody's hands. It says Sanapi amendment at the top. So this is the document we're going to be marking up and working off of should any other amendments be coming to our attention. There was one clerical item that I believe Councilman Lattiser would like to address regarding...
It's on page four.
Page four, line two.
Page four, line two. It was just brought to my attention by our building official, Al DeCourt, where it says, if smoke and CO2 detectors, it should just be CO detectors. The two is not applicable.
That's okay, the so only we'll thing take that as a motion. Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Howe. Any questions on that amendment? Any comments from members of the public on that amendment? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call the roll to change, to eliminate the two from line two on page four.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
Thank you. Okay, so now we are still working off of the Sinappi amendment. Councilman Howe.
Mr. President, I make a motion to add some amendments through the solicitor.
Hey, that's a motion for Councilman Howe to make some amendments. Do we have a second to that? Second by Councilman Foley. Solicitor Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the council, members of the public. Just to take you through the logistics now, for those of you who marked up page four in your booklet here, we're going to work off that. Councilman Howe has moved a series of amendments, which has been seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Because we're marking off two different documents, we do have this new set of amendments in its own hard copy. It does not match up to the item that you have here. My suggestion to the council and to the public is perhaps we address either one page worth of amendments at a time or section by section, depending on what the contents of it are, just so that we make sure we're aligning it to the item that has been marked up. But at this point, we have a motion, a second. We can pass out Councilman Howe's amendment. We can start discussing the first few and see where it goes.
Solicitor Walsh. So we also have copies for everybody on Councilman Howe's proposed amendments, which we are passing out at this time. So we will go through, let's do page by page, Councilman. You'll make a motion.